Welcome to ShollyCast, the podcast all about Lolly and Shota, including Not Safe for Work. ShollyCast is hosted by me, Hydro, and Dr. X. We're the developers of Insexual Awakening, a straight Shota visual novel game with incest, lollies, MILFs, onesans, and even a femboy character if you play Insexual Awakening 2, our sequel. If you'd like to play our games, you can download them at our official Barag at barag.net/cyberhex. And if you'd like to support Insexual Awakening's continued development and this podcast, you can join our Subscribestar at subscribestar.adult/cyberhex. Enjoy the show. Welcome back to ShollyCast, everybody. I'm Hydro. I'm with Dr. X once again. And for today's episode, we are joined by Makuro. Tell us a little bit about kind of the artwork that you work on. You work in a DAZ and 3D models, correct?
That's correct. I am a 3D artist, DAZ artist. I would like to jump into Blender and other things as well, eventually.
And this is the first time we've had a DAZ artist finally on the podcast. So it'll be fun to talk shop a little bit with you since I do DAZ stuff as well. And I also want to do Blender stuff just like you. So I'm trying to learn that as well.
All right.
And I feel like, DAZ is actually a pretty good starting point for people who want to work in like 3D modeling, but don't necessarily know kind of like all the ins and outs of creating models. Or, well, actually, the reason why I think DAZ is so valuable is they have just tons and tons of resources and models that are already professionally made, and they're already kind of, some are already pre-rigged, and there's just like lots of useful resources in DAZ, and there's plenty of programs that allow you to convert DAZ models over to Blender, which is what a lot of people do oftentimes, who make like NSFW like animations and things like that.
Yeah, unfortunately, DAZ isn't good for animations.
No, it's like pulling your hair out.
Yeah. But I used to work in Poser, and I feel sad because Poser, I still think, is a good program, and Poser was really good at animations, but it doesn't have the quality, in my opinion, that DAZ has. So.
Yeah, you can even still buy Poser stuff on the DAZ store. It's kind of legacy content at this point.
Yeah. So I used to work in Poser a long time ago, and then I was like, well, let me go ahead and try DAZ. And at first I didn't like it because it didn't have the ease of use. But then all of a sudden it's like, oh, I'm getting used to it. And now I'm just primarily just DAZ.
And like, what kind of like characters or situations or scenes do you depict in your DAZ stuff?
Normally, I'll just do lolis, shotas, and anybody else in between. I don't tend to do adult content as much anymore. But looking at my folder, I have over, what is that, 200, 300, 400 pictures that I've created.
Oh, awesome. Is your stuff on ATF? Do you have like a thread?
Yes, I have a thread there, and I'm also making a game, so I have a game thread there.
Oh, sweet.
And I'm also I'm making the gallery slowly on Pomp as well.
Awesome. So you mentioned going to Poser. How long ago was that?
Well, originally I started in 1996.
Oh, man.
Oh, wow. So you've done it for a while.
Yeah, it was Poser 4, I believe. And I made a picture of a naked girl kicking a grown woman in the stomach. And I was like, oh, this is kind of fun to do. And then I started moving them from there, and then I started seeing that there was things that you could do with NSFW stuff, and I was like, oh, okay, I'm starting to get used to this. So I've been working with it for a long time.
What's cool is they're like pretty much one of the OGs, like, damn, 1996.
And I mean, that was prior to, like, you know, nowadays, you know, people who use DAZ and Blender are super spoiled by tutorials and huge communities and resources. I mean, back then in 1996, it pretty much, that it was just like, here you go, here's Poser, and just figure it out.
Yeah, basically. I had to really just work with things and just sit there and work on pictures. And then my computer was terrible, so it would render forever. It's like, oh, okay, I'm gonna let this render, turn off my computer screen so no one sees it, and just go to school or whatever.
That's another thing people wouldn't even realize, that like back then the computers were like potatoes. So you know, unless you had like a massive studio with numerous computers doing all the rendering back then. I mean, at that point, I think Toy Story came out only like a couple years prior to that, like 1995 or something, or 94 or something like that. So only the most advanced studios had like 3D rendering and stuff. So to do it by yourself, to render a single image, probably took forever.
Oh, it did. It definitely did. Like,
on the good old Pentium 2 processor or something like that.
Yeah. Let's go ahead and set this up for rendering. Okay, yeah, it's going to be all night, so I'm just going to go to bed. Get up in the morning. Oh, crap. I messed up something in the scene. And then I have to do it all over again.
Yeah.
It's amazing how, like, kids who weren't even, like, born yet in 1996 wouldn't even know how difficult that was.
So you said you're making some games. Can you tell us a little bit about them?
Yeah, so one game, well, I want to dab in Renpy eventually, but first I will talk about the Shota. I'll consider it. It's usually non-consensual game, but it's going to be called Dark Capture. So I had a website a long time ago that's kind of defunct, but not fully. I ran the Carnal Kingdom, and that's basically the site that I made this huge demon world. And the demon world was all about lust demons and people coming to that world and dealing with mostly only lust. Basically, I created characters for it, and it ran a long time. It has comics on PAL Comics that I made for it. And I decided, oh, I'm going to make a Shota project. The Shota project was, I forgot what I named it, but it was an acronym for something, Shota. I forgot what, but basically all the Shotas were being transformed into or trained, quote unquote, into being girlish, or like otokonoko, basically, like girlish boys. And they were being a little dark, but they were being sold to buyers of that kingdom as basically feminine boys. So I was going to stop that series, and I said, oh, well, I need one last hurrah. So then I made this. I started making it's basically an RPG Maker game, but it's with the Smile Game Maker platform.
Oh yeah, I've heard of that.
Yeah, I started making one boy in particular. His name is Mikey, and he is going through this kingdom, and there's a lot of not safe for work art and content, and it plays like an RPG. And basically, if you lose, bad things happen to you. And if you win, I just recently started implementing, if you win, you could do things to the downed enemy.
Oh yeah, that reminds me of Monster Girl Quest. I haven't played it yet, but I do know like if you get defeated, you get like a sex scene where the Monster Girl essentially non-cons you.
Yeah, so basically you get non-con and then start over and try to do the fight again. I think that I'm really, really early in the programming part because I'm having a hard time programming it. But for the most part, it's coming out really well, and I hope to just release it on Pumpf and on ATF one day.
I wish you luck with that.
Oh, thanks.
Well, the good thing is it sounds like you have the foundation for the like story and the concept of the game, which is great, because you know, a lot of times what ends up happening is you got to make sure that you set the projects, the scale and the scope up properly. Because so is this like technically your like very first game that you're actually like putting together, or have you made like other tiny smaller projects to kind of get your feet wet on the programming and kind of how the logic flows and stuff like that?
Yeah, not with this program. This is my first with this program. I've made a very, very small and not even really much of a choices, but I made a small Renpy game. But other than that, it was like, okay, well, I'm going to try to make this RPG Maker game. And I looked into programs and I saw that this wasn't too hard to create with. So I started with it, but then there's all the programming that you have to do. It's the choices. There's the fighting and making sure the fights turn out right. So technically this is my first time doing a RPG Maker game.
So in the game you're making, that one that you just mentioned with the Shota, so that's like an RPG battle system game?
Yeah. So the Shota will find a weapon that they can use, and they are taking on enemies that can, well, I have to balance it, but make sure that I balance it right. But yeah, enemies can defeat you and you can defeat them. And so it's basically just an RPG with hopefully a lot of story that will interest people. I released a small demo on ATF in the thread, and I hope to release the next demo really, really soon. But I keep getting some errors with the programming, so I have to fix that before I release it. But hopefully I'll release another version soon.
That sounds cool. So people can check out your demo on ATF like right now?
Yes.
Oh, cool. So if anyone is interested in that, you can check it out on ATF.
Yeah, it's very rough, but it's there at least, and you can at least do a couple fights and a couple non-cons.
I remember when we were developing IA, Hydro's original idea was to actually use RPG Maker.
Yes, it was. And like, you know, the concept of the game was totally different too. It had time travel and all kinds of crazy stuff. And then, you know, thankfully I had a Dr. X that I met and gave a much more logical and made a lot more sense to just more grounded in kind of like a reality setting and use Renpy or Renpy. And then that became IA, and it became a lot more straightforward and simpler to do for a first time project. And even with IA, I mean, even that had a lot of content in it. That had a lot of stuff that we worked on and a lot of things Dr. X programmed and Soap Monster created for art. So, I mean, even for a small game, it still had a lot of stuff in it. So,
yeah, I don't even think I've gotten everything yet. I still have things I'm missing. I'm like, oh, wait, you're not done yet. I'm like, well, really? I thought I got everything. No, you still have to do this. I'm like, wow.
At least as long as you discovered Vicky already, then you're good. You're already have probably passed at least like 40% of players playing it.
Yeah, I did.
I always ask about it.
And we're even thinking about like adding like voice acting content to both IA1 and IA2. Because we made some connections with voice actresses, thankfully. So that's also something potentially to look forward to.
Oh, yeah, I definitely do. I think when you have animations, it's great, but also voices makes it even more sexy. So.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. I need to have some Shota moaning.
Yes. I like, McCurl, that your game has both the, if you get defeated by the enemy, you get non-con, but if you defeat the enemy, you potentially have a chance to do something to them. Those are fun. Those are not quite as common or like as known in terms of gameplay mechanics as the ones where like you defeat an enemy and then you can kind of do what you want to them. So it's fun that you can go both ways with it. Those I think are pretty enjoyable when you have that kind of setup. Because it's like when you see like a sexy enemy that you really want to fuck and you're just like, oh, that there's potential here. And then like that motivates you to want to defeat the enemy or maybe on purpose get defeated by the enemy.
I didn't program the first part. So the first demo doesn't have the you get the rape or you get the non-con. But once I released this new version, I've went back and I've added different enemies that you can do things to, including a hidden enemy, which I think some people are like, oh my god, I can't wait for this. So
Oh, interesting. And all the art is done in Daz?
Yes.
Nice.
So the game is technically 3D-ish, and well, I guess it is 3D, it's not ish. And the program works as like a very simple 3D art, 3D programming, and from there I added all my Daz art over it. And I chose to do the 3D version because I was working with 3D with 3D pictures. So I was like, well, the 3D is very simple, like blocky and simple, but at least it's still 3D. So
it seems like you're interested in both Loli and Shota, is that right?
Yes, I am.
So what we usually ask to get the guests is like, how do they get into that? How do they get into Loli and Shota? Was there any like kind of point in your life where you started liking that stuff or you realize you like it?
Way back in my day, back in I started watching anime in 1994. First anime was, I don't know if you know it, it's Devil Hunter Yoko or Mamoru no Hunter Yoko. And it had a sex scene in it, and I was like, oh, okay. And I was like a horny teenager. But eventually, I watched Tenchi Muyo. It had a character called Sasami in it. I was like, oh, she's really cute. And then I started to like her more and more as the show went on. It was just like an OVA series that we found. And I was like, oh, wow, I really like her. And then eventually I started liking her more and more. I looked up hentai of her and I was like, oh, this is really nice. And I think it awoke things in me that suddenly I was really liked. So
you awakened. Yes.
I think shodas, I've never really into shodas until more recently. And even now, I will admit, characters like Tracy or like from your game or characters that are more feminine, I tend to like. But like a masculine, rough and gruff shoda, I probably wouldn't like as much. But I got into shodas just when I started doing my own art. And I was like, I'm going to create some art. And I was like, oh, I should create some shodas for the shoda lovers. I didn't really care about it as much, but I started creating the art. And I was like, oh, you know what? This is actually kind of nice. And I started doing more and more. I was like, actually. And my friends, so all my friends know, who know me close, know that I'm into Lolian. They will always tell me, it's like, oh, you like lolis, but why not shodas? It's like, well, then their shodas aren't really girls. And it's like, well, yeah, that's true. But, it, you know, who cares at that age? I'm like, oh, well. You know, that's a good way to put it. Eventually, I just started thinking, who cares at this age?
Yep. I mean, pretty much make a loli and then give her a penis and call her a shoda.
Well, you know, that's what I do a lot of times.
Yeah, and it's fun.
If I want a more feminine character, then, yeah, I'll just make a female, I'll make a loli and Daz, and I'll add a penis.
Yep.
It's really that simple.
Yeah.
Well, that's a femboy formula, basically. Make a girl, put a penis on her.
Yeah.
It's a very successful formula.
So I'll drop a safe work picture here. So this is a character I created for a D&D campaign that I'm playing in. It's literally a character that's a female, and I just added a dick. A really small dick. That character's dick is supposed to be like micro. But still, it's still meant to be a boy, so.
Super feminine.
I wonder if that's probably how like one artist like even came up with like a femboy character, was they just were drawing like a girl character, and then were just like, what happens if I just put a penis on it? And then it's like, oh yeah, this works. I bet that probably has happened before.
I'm sure there's many artists that do that. They probably just draw a loli and they're like, okay, just add a penis. Okay, there you go. oh yeah, I shouldn't add a vagina. Let's take that off. Okay, there you go. In success.
So that Devil Hunter Yoko anime, was it like a specifically hentai anime, or was it?
No, it wasn't meant to be hentai. They just had a scene where the character was about to have sex, and it wasn't even fully. But they showed like breasts and everything. You know, anime back in the day, they didn't care as much about censorship. So,
yeah, the good old days.
They were like, oh yeah, you can show breasts and all that stuff, and butts and all that stuff. So, it wasn't meant to be a hentai. It was just meant to be, I guess, older people anime.
And you know, I would think back then, well, I know that like in the West anyway, it was more difficult to get a hold of, you know, anime that was either, you know, more adult or even just anime in general, at least in the mid-90s. Like the only way you could get them is, you know, you had to go to a specific store that sold either VHSs or DVDs of those anime. There was no streaming services. There was no, the accessibility was a lot more limited before
yes.
Toodami came along and got it more popular.
Yeah, I got that from a tape, and my friend had the tapes, the VHS tapes, and there were two per episode, two per tape, and it cost $30 basically. And I was like, why?
Damn.
Yes. It was fucking crazy. I was about to mention that. Yeah, I even remember being in like a video store and then like kind of sneaking over to the more adult section. even though I wasn't an adult at the time. and looking at the like the anime VHS tapes and like seeing one that was that looked a little suggestive and, you know, like had like a side boob or like under boob or something like that, and I'm like, oh man, I really want to watch this. And just really wishing I could watch that, but I couldn't because, you know, no disposable income, and also technically being a, well, I guess it wasn't porn, so I technically could buy it, but I didn't have a disposable income or anything.
Nah.
And I would get a weird look by my mom, I'm sure, if I try to ask her to buy it.
Yeah. So we actually had friends that were able to get stuff from Japan, and I remember I got all of La Blue Girl on one tape. It was horrible quality, but it was all of it.
Oh, I bet that was crusty. Wow.
Yeah. I was like, oh yeah, I watched La Blue Girl, and I was like, oh my god, this is so amazing.
And what was La Blue Girl like?
Well, La Blue Girl, you have sex ninjas, you have them grow with girls that grow their clits to become dicks and sex magic and all that stuff. And honestly, that's one of the things that really got me into the hentai world. Like, I was like, wow, this is like so interesting to me. And I started looking up more hentai. It's like, oh wow, people are really creative with porn. Like in America, we have, hey, you want to buy a pizza? Oh no, I want something else. Womp, 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 womp. But then, like in Japan, they'll take some time to create stories, they're creating characters that you could technically, although they might be getting non-conned at the moment, but you could still technically grow to like them and their personalities and all that stuff. So yeah,
that's true.
Just recently I rewatched Wild Blue Girl, and I realized that the episodes are an hour long. I didn't even realize it back when I was a young person. It's like, wow, this episode was an hour long? That's crazy.
Dang,
that is unusual for anime to have like hour long episodes. Like that's like unheard of now.
Yeah, now it's 15 minutes if you're lucky.
On that note, are there any anime you're currently watching?
Any anime that I'm currently watching, we are currently watching, we just got done Ichigo Marshmallow. Ichigo Marshmallow is like four girls, four lolis, and the older sister kind of takes care of them. It's mostly a cute anime, less fan service. No, not really fan service at all, but it's mostly a cute loli anime. So I think people would like it if they wanted to just watch cute lolis do things.
The cute girls doing cute things genre.
I mean that is its own genre in itself.
Pretty much. It sounded as if you're watching it with other people. So were you like streaming it on Pomf or something?
Yeah, I was streaming on Pomf. So we do like anime streams on Saturdays. Well, I play, like today is Saturday for me. So I'm going to play some games and then I will watch an anime. Right now we're watching all of Avatar again. But because we watched the live action Avatar, The Last Airbender, it's like, oh, you know, we need to watch the actual anime. So
the good one. Yeah.
Yes, the good one. So
probably the one smart decision Nickelodeon made was allowing that show to be made.
I have to thank Nickelodeon for that.
So have you seen the Last Airbender show before, or is this your like first time?
It's my second time watching it fully. So I've seen all of it once, and now we're going to watch it again.
Nice. Are there any characters you like in it? Oh. Especially like...
Wait, did I say that too quickly? Tauf.
Yes, I had a feeling, but I wanted to hear it from you.
I like Katara a lot, too.
Isn't it Tauf? I thought it was Tauf.
Tauf? Tauf?
I thought it was Tauf, because there was a really funny video years ago that was made, like, parroting, like, how people would mispronounce her name as, like, Tauf, as if it was, like, tofu. it was like I think it was Avatar The Last Puppet Bender. It was this YouTube channel. I don't even know if he's even around anymore, but it was pretty funny stuff. And and it was like all these mispronunciations of different anime characters. Some people would mispronounce like Ichigo and Naruto. It was the same thing. It was really funny. I didn't realize how mispronounced it was.
Yeah, I need to say it correctly. I'm not like a strickler for that, but it's like if I hear someone on YouTube like, okay, if I'm gonna butcher this, then I'm fine. But when they don't even try to say that they're gonna butcher it, it's like, okay, so we're gonna talk about Naruto or something like that. I'm like, why? Learn how to say it if you're gonna do a story about it. Like, take the time to go, how do I pronounce it? Okay.
So you like Toph. Now, are there any other characters that you think are cool in the show or you like? Oh, right. You said Katara, right? Katara.
I actually have a body pillow of her naked. So.
Oh, that shows you're really a big fan. Yeah.
When I first watched the show, it was like, the show started, it's like, wow, Katara, for some reason, I just like the way she looks. Like, and I was like, oh, yeah. And then to continue with this whole series, it's like, oh, well, I like Toph more, but you know what? I like Katara still for her looks. It's like, well, yeah, she's annoying sometimes, but still, I like her looks. And like, so I just, the whole time, and then eventually I found an artist that was like, I'll do anything. I'll do any art you want me to. And I'm like, okay. Could you put her on, like, could you create a body pillar? Like, oh, yeah. And then I found a site to make the body pillow, and I just made it, so.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, it makes sense you like them because they're both cute young girls.
Yep.
Yeah, I loved Avatar Last Airbender when I watched it. Like, I mean, I remember, like, years ago, there was, like, an older guy, too. That was how I first, like, heard about it, but I still hadn't watched it. And he was, like, an older guy, probably, like, in his, like, mid-40s, and he was talking about how, like, he was watching it with his kid, and he was just like, oh man, you know, that this show, like, called Avatar Last Airbender, you know, I thought it was just gonna be like some kid show, but man, that show fucking kicks ass. And he's like smoking a cigarette while he's talking about it. And it was just a weird, very very surreal, bizarre thing to be talking about Avatar to some like 45-year-old man. but then once I saw it, I was like, holy shit, this is amazing. Like, this is on a totally different level than any other Nickelodeon show that exists. So I couldn't believe, like, that there was a show like this. And yeah, I would say, like, I mean, really, I like almost every character. I love Zuko. I think he's the most complex character. That's the most interesting out of them all. But yeah, like, I love Katara. I love Toph. There's just tons and tons of good characters in that show,
and Zuko is voiced by Robin. So that, as soon as I heard that, I was like, wow, what, Robin? Because Teen Titans had just was still running, and it's like, or not, it might have stopped by then, but like then he went over to Avatar, and I was like, oh wow, it's Robin. That's interesting. So
I had no idea.
Yeah, good old Dante Bosco. He had a very distinct voice, and I guess most people back when Avatar was airing, some people would be like, oh yeah, it's Rufy. Oh, Rufy. Because he was also in the Hook movie with Robin Williams. He played Rufio. So, but I think most people now like know him as Zuko or as the Teen Titan character. Yeah, because I think he's more, he was, you know, more prevalent, like because he was in multiple episodes and everything. So, such a great show.
So you liked Teen Titans as well?
Oh yeah, Raven. Yeah, what?
Oh yeah, she's a classic at this point. Very, and very well represented in hentai. See her everywhere.
Oh yeah, you go to that, some of that zone art. That zone art with all of how she does it.
Oh yeah, that's right.
I mean, I would imagine a lot of people who grew up watching Teen Titans, that they probably saw Raven and like that got them into those kind of like more gothy kind of girls and stuff, because that's how she kind of evoked her personality. And because she did have a very fun, unique personality to her. And of course, the porn actually ended up enhancing that personality more for me anyway, because I barely watched Teen Titans, but I know it from all the Zone animations and all the NSFW. And it's like I already understand Raven's personality from that stuff.
Yeah, but yeah, it's funny enough. We were watching that, me and my friend. And another friend of ours is a big comic book fan. He's like, oh, the characters aren't like that. That's like, okay, I understand. He's like, oh, well, at least like change them enough to be like their comic versions. But like, it was fun because we would just poke fun at him and be like, oh, look at this is such a popular show. He's like, I wish people would just read the comics. But yeah, I really enjoyed it. I thought that the series was pretty good. So
now, one thing I have to ask for you is, like, in your opinion, like, let's say someone wants to get into DAZ, what kind of advice would you offer them?
Well, I'd first start off by telling them to read a tutorial just to make sure that they understand it, but also tell them to just go in and play around with it. Go in, load a character, and just play around with it. See what you want to do. Pose them like you want to. So I'm sure it's the same thing with once I start learning Blender. I just have to go in, load a character, just play around with it so that I can get used to it. So,
yeah, I get used to the controls and everything. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think there's also some guides on, like, if someone wants to make Law and Shota art specifically, there's some guides on ATF that they can check out. Pretty decent amount of guides, and I'm planning to write one myself.
Oh, nice.
Dealing with how to fix like Daz hair for like Lollies and Shotas, because sometimes when you place give them the hair that was originally intended to be on an adult character, can fuck up.
Yeah.
But I figured out a way to fix that, so probably be making a guide for that at some point to help people out.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, gotta share that knowledge.
I'll check out your guide. Yeah, I don't necessarily make any guides, but I would suggest people just going in and just trying their best to just play around with it. Like, have fun, see what you like about it. And it's probably one of the better ways to use a program like that, like you said, that they can go in and just play around with it, start off from scratch, see how they like 3D, and then go from there.
Yeah. Some people don't know this, but like DAZ is so important for point animations and 3D point in general. And one of the big reasons for that is because, for the most part, what people do in a lot of point animations is they'll use the DAZ body and also some content made for the DAZ body for the genitals or anus or vagina or penis. And they'll just like either like head hack the head from a video game model, or they'll like change the DAZ head to look like the video game model. So that's usually what they do. So everything is based off of DAZ for the most part. Most people don't custom make their own like penis models.
Yeah, because that would take a shit ton of time to do that.
Yeah, it would.
Take a ton of work, like a ridiculous amount.
And it still might not look good enough or as good as like Mipes. He's the person who makes like one of the most popular and most widely used penis model called Dictator.
None yet. I know Dictator.
It's with like Genesis 8, you have to kind of, you know, play around with it a little more. So you don't get like a gigantic like penis for your Shotas. I mean, some people are into that, of course, but not me. So
not me either.
I had to play around with that, because by default, it's like fucking enormous. It's like 12 inches long or something.
Yeah, you load it in and it's like the size of your arm, and then you have to like edit it down.
Pretty much. This is what us Shota fans have to deal with. the penis model that Daniel in IA2 is currently using is Dictator.
Oh, really? That's interesting.
I ported it into Koikatsu. Well, the biggest reason why is because it had a lot more foreskin options compared to like the official DAZ penis, which, so people don't know, the DAZ like company, I guess, actually does make official penis models that you can buy off of the store. They're just not as like fully featured as like Mipe stuff, but they're pretty decent for if you want like a more simple kind of stuff. Like lots of like Shota artists on ATF just use the like the official DAZ penis because it's good enough for them.
Yeah, I think that with the most recent updates of Dictator, you can now just go straight. What do they call it, kid? Like the kid morphs, where you can just make it into basically a boy penis.
That's not like officially part of Mipe's Mipe's model. it's more like it's a lot easier to get more of a like a Shota kid's dick shape with the most recent version of Dictator. But it's not like he names any of the morphs like this is for kids or something.
Right.
Yeah, I don't think he'd be able to sell his stuff on that website if he did that.
Probably not.
Yeah, it's way easier with the Genesis 9 Dictator model. So hopefully he ports over those improvements for Genesis 9 over to Genesis 8, because I prefer Genesis 8 right now, because I just think it's there's more stuff for it right now, and I think I'll be sticking with it for a while.
Yeah, same here. Like, I've made characters that are in Genesis 9, and it's just like, well, there's still not enough here, and I'm just working with like basic stuff. So,
yep.
I think it's funny that when you go on the Daz store, like Dr. X and I have laughed about this before, that we like Daz clearly makes like characters like remember Dr. X, they had like totally not Ellen Ripley from Alien on there and just
yeah, they'll give the model like a slightly different name to avoid the copyright issues, but it's clearly supposed to be her. That's it's a very big part of Daz culture is having those characters that are lookalikes, essentially. A very big part of Daz culture and all the stores where you can buy stuff.
Yeah, I just recently found a bunch of characters that are like, oh, this is exactly, they import the actual game characters, like, you know, Haruka from Yakuza games and all that stuff. And I'm like, oh, wow, I'm glad that people are porting video game characters in now. So now I can just make a picture with a video game character if I want now. So
yeah, I've actually been learning how to do that. It's pretty interesting. They use, most of them are going to be using a program called Wrap to do that. Basically what you do is you morph the Daz body and head to look exactly like the game model. You're technically not porting like the actual like head and body model of the video game model, but you are making it exactly, making very close to it, to the point where like it looks just like it. But yeah, I've been learning to do that, and I hope to start porting stuff myself and releasing it for people.
That's cool. Yeah, I recently saw, other than Haruka, who just literally was recent, like this week, I was like, oh, someone ported all the Haruka stuff over. So I just started downloading and making pictures for her. But I was looking at like really, really nice looking Tifa and Aerith. And there's a bunch of other characters. There's Natalia, there's Sarah from Last of Us and all that stuff. So
yes, Sarah.
Sarah from Last of Us is a great one.
The alpha lolly for 3D content.
Yeah.
Alongside Hugo as the Shota, man. Hugo is everywhere.
Yes, the alpha Shota, yeah.
He's like everywhere. And I really also like the lolly girl from Detroit Become Human. I really like, there's some people, I don't know what the model is, but I'm assuming it was probably just a mixture of like Daz and stuff like that, but it's such a great model. I love it. It needs to be used more in more animations.
I've been thinking of doing that, but it's just kind of weird using a model like from a game I've never played.
it doesn't matter.
Yeah, for me it doesn't matter. I was like, oh, she's cute. I'll just use her.
I have played the Yakuza games. They're great. Was the Haruka model from Yakuza 1 or 2? Do you know?
Well, so far I have 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. Not one I don't have. So I will admit that, yes, I do 3D art. I can draw a little bit. And I'm not too bad at drawing, but I'm not a great artist. But I do 3D art, and it's going to sound a little sus, but I do 3D art because it's a lot more realistic, I guess. So then you go to Daz and you go, okay, well, you make a character and all that stuff, and it's like 3D art, you got pores in the character's skin, you have this and that, and like, and it's 3D, of course. So that's mostly why I do 3D art a lot of times. If I could draw a little better, but yeah,
I mean, that's why Daz stuff appeals to me too, like Daz stuff or Blender stuff, or like the with the more realistic models. That's plenty popular even for the non-Lolly and Shota stuff, because people like that stuff. They like that it looks less stylized, because it can be like a sort of mood thing where like, oh yeah, like today I want like a more stylized, like kind of like anime look or something, or like other days I might want something more realistic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, that's fine. Like the Daz stuff or the Blender stuff, like it's not actually going to look like indistinguishable from reality. You can tell, you can always tell.
Yeah.
Especially if you use Daz before, you can really tell when you look at Daz art, like it was made with Daz, because you see like all the telltale signs and stuff, and like you can even say, oh, like I know that hair model, I know what it's called, and you know stuff like that. So yeah,
I've done that before. I've seen hentai games. It's like, oh, that's a Daz character. No, that's Daz.
Yes, the funny thing is that even though I'm a porn game developer myself, I actually don't play a whole lot of porn games, because some of the premises can be pretty similar. So a lot of them don't appeal to me on that front.
Oh yeah.
So I mean, that it's just a kind of a funny thing to think about, considering that I do make porn games for a living and I don't play very many of them.
Yeah, I think that what got me into Renpy the most is before I played your game, I played going back to Avatar, I played Four Elements Stringer, and that was just premier, like good stuff. Like, and I'm like, man, I need to really work on that. I've always known about Renpy back even when Renpy first came out. I was like, oh, you can make your own, because I played a bunch of different visual novels. And then it's like, oh, Renpy, you can make your own. So I always wanted to do that. And then when Four Elements Trainer came out, I saw what they could do with it. I was like, wow. Like, and then you guys with your games, it's like, Renpy's really, really good. So.
Oh, it absolutely is. Like, I'm really glad that I like RPG Maker myself. But for the kind of game that I ended up being, Rampire really was the best choice for that.
Yeah, it was.
So I'm really glad we decided to choose Renpy for that.
Yeah, it's Renpy, not Renpy, whatever.
I mean, I haven't seen like the official creator like say how it's pronounced. I always say Renpy because I think it's like a combination of Ren and Python, which is the language it uses. So that's just how I imagine it. It could potentially be actually be Renpy, but that's how I interpreted it.
Oh, yeah, I can see such as Python. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
I wonder where the Ren comes from then. The character, I guess.
Oh, is that what the character's name is?
I think. I can't remember.
Yeah, Renpy is great. I support the creator on Patreon. They've enabled so many cool games, including porn games. I think Katawa Shoujo is on, uses Renpy as well. It's a famous one.
Oh, yeah. That's another famous one.
Yeah, I've played it. I don't think Hydro has played it.
No, I haven't. I'm the same as Dr. X. I actually don't play hardly any porn games at all. That was a combination of like what Dr. X said, that I'm not interested in the premises all that much, but it's also prior to making IA, I played two different games and I got so fed up with them either, you know, going like a route of like, oh, it's actually bad if you do incest, or it's actually, there's a bad end here if you make just the wrong choice. Oh, and you got to go all the way back a couple hours in order. And I was just like, fuck this. And I'm just going to make my own thing. And so stuff like that. But there are certain types of games where if they did come out, I would be intrigued by, like, I know one, well, obviously anything that like is a Loli Shota game always kind of gets me interested. But in terms of like a more vanilla thing, I guess you could say, if they had like a romancing mixed with like in other words, in-depth character stories and stuff mixed in with NSFW that involved like anthro characters, or, you know, and like a human that wasn't like, you know, generic man character, then I might be interested in that. And, you know, so far I haven't seen anything that really matches up to what I'm looking for, but yeah, like I still will occasionally look at what games are doing, like more so like what their gameplay loop is, like what approach they take, what the content is, and you know, whether or not like what they're doing might be like something that comes up with like I come up with an idea of what could maybe be in our games, you know.
What's funny is that sometimes you'll see on our Discord server, people will ask like, oh, do you know any games similar to IA or IA2? And the answer is always a no, because the way we've done the game is IA1 and IA2 is really, there's really not any other games so similar, because some games might have a kind of like similar gameplay loop of like daily like activities or something. However, a lot of the time those games, they still don't have like a very in-depth route with a character.
Yeah,
so there's, I really, really haven't found like other, you know, games that have like, well, first of all, like there aren't like a whole lot of games that have the combination of straight Shota with lollies and MILFs. Like that's hard to find.
That's highly unusual. It which I was surprised.
And then you add like IA's like gameplay loop of the daily stuff, and then like the routes, and like especially with IA2, like the characters being more complex, with her routes.
Yeah, that's pretty cool though. Have you ever tried what was it called? My Secret Summer Vacation. My Secret Summer Vacation too.
Yes, I did, and I do enjoy them. And in terms of like character story stuff, it's there's not a ton to it, and that's fine because like if you just want to have a really comfy time being a shota fucking all these girls and milfs, so you're gonna have a really good time. And this even this the second one they did, like there's a desensor patch that you can download on ATF.
Oh yeah,
yes, nice.
So that's great. Yeah, and it's animated. All of it's animated, so that's really cool. And I've been tinkering around with it myself, trying to see what I can mod. Yeah, but like in terms of like kind of like character depth and stuff, you won't like find a ton of it in that. So that's one of the reasons why it's not quite so similar to IA. However, I do definitely recommend it to people who like straight shoto and are okay with kind of like a fun romp being a shoto fucking everyone. And you can fuck boys too if you want.
Yeah.
In the both games there's a shoto option, and in the second game with the shoto option you can have it so that the shoto is like basically like dressing up like a girl and having long hair and everything, so like a femboy.
Yeah, I like this.
So the only thing they need to do then for the third game is make a loli option, and then they've completed.
Oh yeah, there's lollies.
Yeah, there's already lollies. Yes.
Oh nice. So there you go.
You can have sex with your aunt. You can have sex with the lollies. You can have sex with, I guess, what is it, hebe? Hebe girls. Showed up. There's a lot of options.
Yep.
That creator I actually support a lot. Like, I support him completely. I bought, like, almost all his games. Just, I generally like his creativity, so.
Yeah, and, like, yeah, he puts tons of options in his games. It's cool.
Except for the longest time, he was into, like, zombies. But, like, other than that, like, do a zombie, but.
Yeah, I think he does have like a zombie game. I don't think I bought that one, but
yeah, he can make his game pretty hard too. So that's another. That's technically a bit of a problem for him. Like there was the one game, what was it called? Like it was like a dungeon or like the dead end or something like that. And like basically, if you didn't save a girl in time, she'd die and all that stuff. And it's like you can get a good ending or a bad ending or whatever.
I feel like Japanese games are kind of notorious for that, for the kind of
yeah,
where you kind of need a guide. And I guess that's one of the ways that IA actually differentiates itself from a lot of other porn games, especially the shonen loli ones, because most of them are Japanese, is that you don't really need a guide. I mean, a lot of people do miss Vicky, I guess, but other than her, like you can figure things out pretty quickly. And I like that because it really adds the kind of comfy vibe for IA1 and IA2 that we intentionally tried to create.
Yeah, it does.
You don't have to worry about like missing content or like saying the wrong thing or something like that. You get exactly what you're trying to get when you play the game.
I'm pretty sure I almost missed Vicky if someone didn't tell me, but like
maybe I can add a hint system or something, but like other than Vicky, pretty easy ceiling.
I think for my game, the only thing that like I started putting in also like warning. So it's like Loli and Shoda, Loli X Shoda, non-con. And it's like, do you want to view this? Like I played the game, I think it was called Kidnappers. And I saw that they had, oh, this is Loli X Loli, do you want to watch it? And so I was like, well, I could add something like that. So now with the newest updates, you'll be able to be warned. Oh, this is strange demon imp baby X Shoda non-con. Do you want to? Fuda demon imp baby X Shoda non-con. Do you want to watch this? It's like, oh, no. They just get the game over. You start a little bit further away. It's like, okay. So like that will...
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, like in IE2, there's even an option to have to avoid the gay content if you don't want to see it.
Yeah, I think that's important because like some people might not want to see the gay content, even though. But I laugh because even though my game is mostly based on that.
Well, yeah, if your game is primarily like gay content or something, and like gay content toggle is a little strange. it's like essentially like a whole entire game toggle. But yeah, it's like when it comes to like toggles for certain stuff. It's like, it's not necessarily like someone is like bigoted or something. They might just not want to see it because they're not into it or something. Of course, we, on our Discord server, we're not gonna, if they are bigoted, they're not gonna be allowed to say their stuff on the server.
Right. Yeah. Like our server is a very like, you know, safe environment that allows, you know, everybody to feel very comfortable there. And, you know, we specifically, you know, we really very carefully designed our server to be a very friendly and open community. And you know, to go back to like that option in IA2, it I think part of the reason why Dr. X and I did it as well is because I know that there are hentai games out there where, and I do seem to recall this happening, where you'll go through a game and it'll be really awesome, and all of a sudden you'll get this mandatory scene that might have, you know, something you're really, really not into. Like it might be like all of a sudden you get like a Goro scene, or you get scat, or something like that, and it's unavoidable, and like you cannot avoid it at all, and it's like it really sours the experience for you if you're not into it, or you have no choice to go with it. That's the reason why it's good to give options.
Yeah, and like even in the first game, remember, like you can do the entire game without interacting sexually with the lollies at all if you're not into lolly.
Yeah.
So like, you know, that's like a way you can completely avoid that, because some players are like that. Like obviously if they're playing the game, they probably don't have a problem with lolly porn, but they might not be into it. So they play the game only going after the MILFs with their big titties, or although in Janet's case they're kind of more average sized, I think.
Yeah, she was my favorite adult.
Well, you like Lysla, so actually I can see that. So yeah, you can go in through the entire game only going after the MILFs if you want. I mean, it would be fun to like, when we update the game again, if there would be like an option where you can only go after, where you get, you can still get the ending even if you only went after the lollies. That would be interesting.
that'd be interesting.
That reminds me, there was a, do you remember, what was it, Bert und Unterbach or something like that? You ever play that?
I think it's Unalterbach is what it's called, Unalterbach. And that game has bad ends, and I got a bad end in it, and I just never played it again, because it was one of those things where if you don't, actually, one of the problems I had with the game was you had very few places where you could save, if I recall correctly. Like, it wasn't like, that's another thing we designed purposefully with Renpai, is you can save at any point in time, anywhere you want, ideally in your bedroom, in the main character's bedroom, but you can save at any point in time you want, because other games, you know, you can't save for like, sometimes up to like 30 minutes or 45 minutes, and then you get a bad end and you got to restart all the way back and go through all these choices again and be like, okay, I got to make sure I don't choose the wrong one this time.
Mm-hmm.
But Unalterbach is pretty cool. Like I liked it and I wanted to play it, but not, I got to use a, I'm going to use a guide next time if I ever go through it again.
Yeah, we were thinking of playing it on Cholacast or something, doing a Let's Play sort of thing.
Oh, that'd be cool.
But however, like we just mentioned, we're probably going to play with the guide because we don't want to get a bad ending.
The reason I brought it up is because apparently in that game you could just play and only get the older ladies, even though the older ladies were like, meh. Like, apparently there's a possibility of not doing any loli in it, and it's like, wow. I did it once. I was like, it was a short little game. It's like, oh, you got all the adults. Yay. And it's like, okay.
I didn't even know that. That's kind of interesting, actually. I thought it was like a loli only game, but you can get like an older ladies ending.
Yeah, like actually very early on in the game, like I would say within like the first 5 to 10 minutes, you actually can like have like a little mini sex scene with an older lady, like right from the get-go, if you do the right choices, which I did in the beginning. And I was like, this is cool. And then later on, I had an older lady who basically took my brain out and killed me. So no, that was that was my bad end.
So is the older lady's ending actually a bad ending?
Well, it's just one particular. Yeah, like there is like an ending where I guess you go into this mansion, right? And of course, it's one of those classic things where it doesn't even tell you that you're doing the wrong route at all. You go in and this lady's actually part of, I think, like some occult, you have to like say yes or no to like becoming part of it or something like that. And basically, if you say yes, your brain gets put in a test tube or some stupid thing, and then the game ends. It's really dumb.
I remember there was one part where like you had to let a lowly, a little bit of a spoiler, but you had to let a lowly like just mess with you. But if you try to do anything at all, it's like a loud screech, and then like you get arrested because apparently you actually tried to do something. Lowly's able to play with you, I think, but you're not allowed to play with her like you want to. But as soon as you like, you know what, you little bee, you go to the grammar, it's like, oh, it's over. It's like, yeah, I can see that, but it's kind of like she was already molesting you. Like,
look, she came on to me.
It's like, okay, yeah, I see what you're doing with this, but still, like, just having her be like, I'm gonna tease your balls, and it's like, you're just supposed to take it and not do anything. It's like, I didn't really like that one as much, but
Altarbach is one of the classics. Like, a lot of people know about it. I've never played it, actually, but yeah, I've been thinking about playing it eventually, sort of as sort of a doing my part as like a kind of Shonen Mall historian, I guess. it's like research for the podcast, I guess.
That's cool.
Yeah. And you know what? We're kind of making history with Shollycast right now. That's the cool thing about this.
Man, you get to talk to a bunch of lowly Shota creators. That's awesome. Yeah. We need to get you to talk to some of the Japanese ones if they have a translator.
That would be great.
That'd be super cool to do that one day. Man, that'd be super cool.
Yeah, if we ever get the opportunity to do that, that'd be great.
I want you to talk to one of my favorite creators, the one that made flat cheese.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Although that'd be so fun to interview the flat cheese creator. Yeah, because both Dr. X and I have played the flat cheese games. Like, I haven't played all of them all the way through, but I played 1 and 2. I know I played all of 1, most of 2, and I haven't gotten to 3 yet.
It would be I'm looking forward to the mysterious Russian uncensored version for Flat Cheese 3.
Yeah, that's what I'm waiting for too.
Yeah, me too. The mysterious Russian uncensored version. I like the way that's put. Oh yeah, where did it just come from, Russia?
Yeah, it's just Russian fan art. Totally not the original creator's art. Totally not. Also, Makuro, do you have a brag?
No, not yet, but I wouldn't mind creating one. Like I said, I have a gallery under my name on Pomf. I'm going to start trying to get more and more slots for that so that I can just upload art there. And I'll see about getting a brog if I can, but I might have an account though. So I do have an account, I think so.
Yeah. So if you already have an account, you can post your stuff there. Just make sure to tag it, properly. You have to tag it properly.
Yeah, because there's definitely 3D animations on Barag. Like, there's definitely plenty of it.
Like a Rastafarian SFM, who does great stuff with Hugo.
Yep, I think there's another animator that does a lot of stuff with Nanako from Persona 4. I've been trying to remember who that is.
I think it was Strange Sunset.
Strange Sunset. That's right. Yes. Yeah. That's right. Yep.
It would be great to have her on the podcast as well.
Yes. Yeah, there's honestly like a lot of guests we would love to have. And, you know, we've had a lot of great guests and we're going to continue to keep going. It's going to be a lot of fun to see who else wants to jump on.
Yeah. So, Makuro, you got a pump and an account on ATF. Mm-hmm. Is there anything else?
If you want to see more about the Eternal Kingdom, I have an account on Pixiv. Well, all the comics are there, so you don't have to necessarily go to Cow Comics, since they're my art, since I commissioned them. Yeah, so if you want, you can just go to Pixiv and you can see all about the site. The site itself is down because I was paying for it for many years. I was like, well, I'm not gonna worry about holding up the site anymore. But I might try to find a free site to revive the site eventually, but all the 2D art is there. And I wanted to have my own site for 3D art, so maybe I'll start uploading on Barak.
Oh, nice. Awesome.
Nice, very cool.
So if people are interested in Kuro's stuff, be sure to check all that stuff out. And we'll be having it linked in the video as well.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us, Makuro, and thank you for, you know, and getting it around your schedule to accommodate us for the episode. We appreciate it.
No, thank you. I definitely wanted to come and just hang out and talk to you guys, so thank you.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Thank you.
I think this will push me to try to get this next update out so people won't have to play that old version. So hopefully I can get that update out really soon.
Jeff, I'm glad to motivate you.
Thank you.